Year, welcome to January 1st, 2024. The year where World War III starts and Trump is reelected and toxic sludge from pollution ends up reversing climate change for some weird-ass reason. I'd have no idea. Who knows what's going to happen in this year? But regardless, we're going to be prepared for anything because that's what we do here at the Ego Hacker community. We're prepared to handle anything psychologically. Yeah.
It's gonna be crazy.
No, it's fine. I'll write all that out. I'll write that all out. Thanks, Fib. It's all good.
Maybe we should ask ChatGPT what it thinks 2024 is gonna hold.
Oh, that's interesting. It'll just search the internet, like, and because it won't know. I don't know.
It'll be interesting.
It would, but I can't use my phone right now because it's the stream. Oh, later. Okay, sure. Yeah, we'll pull out the ChatGPT crystal ball, you know, and see what happens. Yes, this laser gun. Hello, laser gun. Hello. Welcome to the stream. Yes. So laser gun is just sitting in for our special guest tonight, who is going to be assisting us and has been assisting us with our Mind Child project, which we're going to be discussing a little bit with a case study with our Mind Child project, which is a nonprofit project that we have to actually assist children and teachers and parents in education facilities or situations to help children, psychoanalyzing children and giving teachers and parents everything that they basically need to know in order to help properly educate or raise or parent a child, essentially. So, yeah. And yes, we are broadcasting live from Los Angeles right now. Thank you, chat, for coming up with that fundamental truth of our location. How did you figure it out? Oh, my God. So what are your thoughts on using ChatGPT to verify your MBTI? No, it's not educated, and it probably sucks. I wouldn't do that, bro.
It wouldn't suck. It's doing its best.
Oh, okay, fair enough. I guess we need to give the AI, you know, absolution for some reason. Let's do it. It is a robot. Robots need absolution too.
They have emotions.
Oh, they do. Oh, I guess they do in iRobot with Will Smith. He has emotions too, right? I mean, not anymore. Jada Pinkett Smith made sure he didn't. Anyway. All right, cool. All right, so let's introduce Miss Michaela now, and let's move forward with L Show, right? Yes, Happy New Year, Chase, Laser Gun, and Fib. Yes.
Enjoy the plush blanket.
The plush blanket, yeah. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Oh. The stream can't see it all.
Oh, the stream can't see it all. Okay.
So you're gonna have to
maxing.
Yeah, we're making sure that our trusty whiteboard with this pen marker thing is prepped and ready to go. And for pointing somewhere, I have a balisong.
I can grab the painter if you want.
Yeah, because I don't have it, which is kind of weird. Although, for some reason, I have my keys. And I don't know why I have my cat keys and my khakis. Stop with that stupid joke. I know, right? Yay! Yes, my pointer, un balisong. All right, cool. So, yes, we have Michaela here. How you doing? Yes,
great.
Welcome to the show. And thank you for our funny Max line. He can write as many cuss words as he wants up there. You won't be able to see. Bacon and ka-chow. Good times. So please give the audience a run through about what kind of work you're actually doing with young children and Ucha for Children right now.
So right now we are using the language for the cognitive functions to support behavior, aggressive behavior with our students.
So how much of a problem in school districts would you say aggression behavior, you know, from students is right now?
It's very high. It's a lot of the reason why teachers are quitting right now.
And this is specific to to SPED, to special education specific. No, this is rampant everywhere.
No, so right now they're really pushing all inclusion, and so with very little support because there's a low teacher shortage. So now we have the general education classroom with students who don't necessarily, they might qualify for an IEP and they might not. But you're seeing probably at least five students in a classroom with behavior issues.
Okay. And so how are districts right before us, how are districts equipped to solve that problem?
They're not.
They're not equipped.
No, right now they're using room clears. So if a student is destroying a room or they're breaking a window or doing something, all the students have to leave that classroom and disrupt their entire learning experience instead of removing that student from the classroom.
So I guess this kind of proves to the conspiracy theorists of the world that school is not actually a place for learning, but actually a prison for children.
It feels like that for teachers and students.
For teachers and students, yeah, mm-hmm. It just ends up becoming a problem. And, you know, the EcoHacker community goes out of its way with its mission to remove fatherlessness as much as possible. What percentage of the students do you think actually have fathers at this point?
It's pretty low, I would say.
What would you say in terms of the students that are having these behavioral problems?
Do not have fathers?
Yeah.
I'd probably say...
8 out of 10?
Yeah, at least 80, I was going to say, yeah.
8 out of 10. So a Pareto. Interesting. So a standard deviation, basically, of students with behavioral problems in a classroom that don't actually have fathers. And this is why we've invested so much into this nonprofit, to actually be able to go in this direction and try to do something about that. As much as we're also, you know, our ulterior motive is to get Jungian analytical psychology in schools, basically, so that students know themselves, teachers know themselves, and then maybe, somehow, the students or the teachers can convey that to the parents so the parents can stop projecting themselves onto their children and thus essentially ruining their children's lives because of how ignorant the parents are. Because we have this problem with the nuclear family that's getting in the way because there's so few people involved actively in these children's lives. And the nuclear family is the primary cause of that. And as a result of that limitation, the children end up becoming developmentally behind. I actually have a theory right now. I haven't told this to you yet.
Okay.
But my theory is that currently, right now, humanity with that is involved with public education, if public education is an option within a society on the planet Earth right now, the human beings within that society are all collectively developmentally behind. Mm-hmm. Literally. Mm-hmm. To the point, like, and we see evidence of this, you know, from a psychological perspective, that men, for example, don't actually mentally become men until about age 27 at the earliest, and it's usually up to age 30. And with women, that level of maturity doesn't actually happen until about 24, 25 years old. Whereas historically, that would happen for women about age 13, 14, and 15, and for men it would be 15, 16, 17, basically, in society, even so long as I'd say about 100, maybe 150 years ago, like back to the 1800s, essentially, is where that would be very commonplace, that someone would reach maturity at that age, whereas we're not actually having that issue now. So based on that, you've done a lot of work with these children, and we have this thing called OOCHA for Children, where we're asking questions of the children to find out what their type is, and what are the questions again? That's do you want to play the game that you see children already playing, or do you want to wait around until you're invited to play the game with them, do you want to be the child that has helped, or do you want to be the child that helps, basically? Mm-hmm. And I think another question is, do you want to go find out what other children are doing and introduce yourself to the children, or do you wait for other people to introduce, other children to introduce themselves to you? Mm-hmm. And then the other question is the classic marshmallow test, but we use cookies instead. Do you want a cookie right now, or do you want two cookies in 15 minutes as the teacher is eating a cookie in front of the child actively at that moment in time to add additional pressure for the decision? And those four questions, basically, we've been able to utilize and create OOCHA for Children and of course, we're constantly testing that and adjusting it over time. But from an OOCHA for Children perspective, we're basically able to psychoanalyze them. And even if we don't get their exact type, we are able to identify their quadra. And since people all in the quadra all have the same cognitive functions, usually the instructions that we give teachers actually works in general for those students anyway. So it doesn't have to be 100% accurate. Actually, it could be 80% accurate and it's just fine. We can still get a, really good result for teachers and students in the classroom. So based on that, you have a case study for us this morning.
Yes.
So what's the story though? What's the case study? Like, what's going on? What's the story?
So this student is about to be, so he's having so many behavioral issues that they are about, they are looking into placement into another school. And upon finding out what this other school is about, it seems like it's a child prison to me, what I'm hearing from everyone. So he was put on my caseload to give him essentially one last chance to see if we can get him out of it, out of the anger and aggression. And
yeah, so what are some of the problems that he's exhibiting in the classroom typically? What are the behaviors?
So he's very verbally aggressive, yelling at students and teachers. Last year, he might have broken a window, but he hasn't really gotten physical with anyone.
So a lot of rage.
Just rage. Yeah. Rage, and can't get him out of it.
Pure
he's on
rage.
Half days.
Okay.
At school because of his behavior.
He's on half days. Okay, so typically when a child is exhibiting rage, at that point, like, you can assume, okay, he's either an extroverted sensor, because SEUs or children have rage issues or can have rage issues, or he's... If he's an introverted sensor, then he would have to be a Wrath type from a Soul Temple. So Wrath type would mean ISTJ and ENFP, or he's an SE user. So we've just eliminated like 4 of the 16 types, or no, we've eliminated 6 of the 16 types, basically. Oh yeah, the sound.
Sorry if you didn't hear me.
Yeah. So anyway. From a sound, not from a sound perspective, but from a behavioral issue, we've just eliminated 6 of the 16 types off the type grid just off of that. So what other behaviors does he exhibit?
I just got him on my caseload, so I'm trying to think back, but I pretty much think mainly it was the rage.
Mainly the rage that got it? Okay. What would trigger the rage?
When he's in front of people, he does a lot of attention seeking. He starts making like sexual noises and trying to get other kids involved and creating the chaos.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So he's trying to get other people involved. Sexual noises. Sexual noises from that perspective in a child is usually indicative of pragmatic behavior. So pragmatic, which means that he wouldn't be a Wrath type by default. So if he's a pragmatic extroverted sensor, then that would mean he's a Wayfarer type by default. So you're looking at an ESFP, ENTJ, ISFP, or INTJ just from that perspective. And since he's trying to get other children involved, that would mean he's an extroverted Wayfarer, which would mean he would have to be an ESFP or an ENTJ from that point of view. But ENTJ children typically are very aware of rules and they're constantly all about their achievement on a regular basis. So it's more than likely he's actually an ESFP child. So with him being an ESFP child, and I actually had the opportunity to see photos of this child from a visual typing perspective, I would agree that he's also an ESFP from a visual typing point of view, but we haven't actually discussed behaviors yet. It was just off of visual typing. It seemed like he's ESFP, and then I named the stream ESFP, and if it was wrong, I'd rename it, but whatever. So he basically just doesn't really care about the consequences of his actions whatsoever. And if he's being attention-seeking, that's basically because he's not getting any attention at home. What's this child's home life like? Do you know?
Well, what I hear is that he's really close to both of his parents.
Yeah?
He really respects
them. Does he have siblings?
Maybe one, but I'm not positive.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, fair enough. Okay, so very close to his parents, and then... So I guess what the ask is, okay, assuming that this is an ESFP child in the situation who's having these problems, what can we actually do? Well, if he's very close to his parents, like, what do you think there's a risk that his parents are actually enabling him and not actually actually like giving any sternness or boundaries or whatever.
I think that was a huge issue growing up.
Yeah, you know, it's very interesting you mentioned this because I actually had an opportunity to observe Big K, who is a Wayfarer child, with his ESTP mother earlier yesterday. He was like very selfish, very like telling her what to do, whining all the time. And I just was asking her, is this how he is around you? And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, why aren't you telling him no? Why aren't you doing this? Like, where's the boundaries? Like, mm-hmm. I said, he never behaves this way around me at all.
Right.
And I had to intervene and actually parent him in front of her and be like, okay, daddy's on the scene now. And Big K is like, oh, dang, you know, daddy's here. I need mm-hmm. to shape up right away, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, she's going to get him like a cake pop from Starbucks or whatever, you know, because he loves them those cake box, you know, here in downtown LA, apparently, you know. from that point of view, it's just like, okay, really? Like, you can't just give him a cake pop if he's going to be like misbehaving. You're gonna have to hold that off for later. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't eat his food. He wouldn't do anything. He just started completely acting entirely erratically. You know, like mm-hmm. for example, however, like Laser Gun and whatnot. She's been working very hard doing some interventions with him, and now he's actually like going to bed on time. He's staying in bed. He's staying in his room until an adult lets him out of his room. That kind of a thing, mm-hmm. where he has no such boundaries in that other environment. So I suspect, and which basically tells me, you know, Big K is having a problem with being like, of using his introverted feeling child, taking advantage of the extroverted feeling child of his mother, which I can say because he does that to me all the time. He does it to me all the time. And, you know, it's hard when you have extroverted feeling child and you're dealing with a small child because, like, here's the situation. They can actually leverage Effie Child with their parents, and he's got two parents with Effie Child, and then he's got like he's over leveraging basically.
Mm.
And then all of a sudden, in comes Laser Gun, his extroverted feeling parent, and being like, we're not doing that anymore at all. And then his behavior is completely improved. And ever since that's happened, he's actually happier now that we see all these parental boundaries, and it's the best he's ever behaved since I've ever known my 2-year-old son. Like, it's the best he's ever done in his life. He's developing rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
He can count to 10. He knows his ABCs. He actually can look at at letters and numbers and actually say what they actually are and recite them. And he, as a 2-year-old, he's doing fantastic.
So what that says to me is more is like safety. So so he needs safe, even though the safety of freedom.
Yeah.
And he's like fighting it. But
you can't do that with an ESFP child because here's the thing: when you take an NI user child and you give them too much freedom, what happens is they become aimless, because they have to have boundaries to know what they focus their freedom on, what they are supposed, what am I supposed to, or what can I spend my freedom on, basically.
And when you're in an environment with zero freedom.
Yeah.
Then how can we address?
Well, because here's the thing. So here's the problem, though. At home, he probably has unlimited freedom.
Yeah.
And then he comes to the school, and he has limited freedom. And then he's going to be transferred to school with zero freedom. You see what I'm saying? That's the problem. When it's not actually the child's fault whatsoever, even though the child is actually the one being blamed for this entire thing, it's not the child's fault, like not even remotely. So what we have to do is convey to the staff and also to the parents that his lack of boundaries, because you showed me a photo of one of his parents. One of them is an INTP. That INTP has extroverted feeling and fear. That INTP parent of his is just letting that child walk all over them, because they're so afraid of their son not liking them that they're just going to go along with that. You know, just from a visual typing perspective,
explained it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know, So his mother is an INTP woman, and she's just letting this child walk all over her. And dad's probably out at work, and dad comes home super, like, exhausted. But mom is just basically not, to be fair, she's inept at enforcing rules and boundaries of the house because she's afraid that her son won't like her anymore. The situation is that parents need to realize that they can't be friends with their children. That doesn't happen until like your child is like in their 30s, and that's even then that's a maybe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, otherwise no. Like there's no such thing as being friends with your children. You are a parent, that's it.
is more intervention for the parent.
Yeah. because what the thing is that parents have the opportunity to be friends with their children when it's their grandchildren, but not actually their children. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like that's why, you know, the grandparent relationship is far more friendly than a parent relationship. You see what I'm saying? And that's the problem that parents actually have, you know, from this perspective. But here's the thing. He's an NI user child. He's getting unlimited freedom at home because he's being enabled, especially by his INTP mother, right? Being given unlimited choices, and like he'll ask for anything and she'll just do it, and without any actual boundaries. So he's actually living in aimlessness right now, which is actually creating fear. It's actually creating fear, and he's taking that fear and it's turning into rage, because while he's in this environment where his NI inferior has absolute free reign at home, he goes to the school where he has limited freedom. And then it's creating rage. Okay. And then because of that, he's going to end up in a no freedom area, which is going to cause him to go U to UF. Mm-hmm. And then he'll end up in jail for the rest of his life, basically. Yeah.
That's because, what I'm like, trying to avoid.
You know, the last U to UF ESFP that I actually met was somebody who just pulled out a gun one day in a road rage incident and just started shooting. And he went down for attempted murder, basically, and he went to jail. Like that's what happens. And he was U to UF. Why? Because he was in a very similar parenting situation that you're describing, okay? And, you know, it was pretty rough for him. Luckily, he got out of it. He figured out. He got rehabbed, but it cost him decades of his life.
So as a fifth grader, I feel like he could be aware of learning that, right? Maybe? Like, I feel like lessons surrounding that to bring him
The thing is, absolutely, the adults in his life have to basically work as a cohesive unit to make sure that they're enforcing similar boundaries in the home that is also being enforced at the school, basically.
Okay. And I think they're at that point.
Well, the consequences need to be heavily explained to the parents ahead of time as to what's happening. Because you're letting your son walk all over you because you're too afraid of whether or not he likes you or not, or because you, for some reason, feel like you should, or it's your duty to give your child what he wants, which is not accurate whatsoever, is actually harming him. Like, look, I mean, if you're a mother and you got your deadly sin of gluttony or whatever, and because you're gluttonous and you're very hedonistic, because you're probably, hedonism means gratification, so she's probably spending a lot of gratification on herself and being hella hedonistic while simultaneously being gluttonous, etc. Combining that hedonism, gratification, and gluttony at the same time, she's like, oh, I get whatever I want, so that means I should give what my son wants too. And then she thinks she's being a good parent, when the reality situation is she's not. She's not being a good her, and she's not being a good parent either, simultaneously. And that's just, you know, transferring over to the parent and absolutely blowing up in everyone's face. And her son's entire future is being condemned, even though she actually walks around believing or thinking that she's doing the right thing when she's not. She's actually failing him consistently because she herself does not know how to be a parent. She needs to be educated on how to parent this child. I would recommend she watches the lecture, How to Parent ESFPs. I think she should also watch everything there is to do about INTPs and learn how to be a better INTP herself, because she doesn't even know what she's doing and she has no idea how much harm she's actually causing to her own ESFP son. This is ridiculous. Like, there's no justification for this. The thing is that the problem is that we live in a fatherless society and parents are set up for failure because their parents didn't parent them properly and their parents didn't parent them properly, and it goes back four generations. No one knows what the hell they're doing. Ever since the sexual revolution, you know, it's just because, like, ever since then, women were less and less in the home, and then men were already not in the home, and then children are left with nothing, and then they're just raised by the state. Mm-hmm. And child care, and it's a child support society instead of a child rearing society. It's just crap. So no one has actual parenting skills. Mm-hmm. So meeting people who have parenting skills are extremely rare. Extremely rare, right? Yeah.
So I think in order to be able to get to that point with the parents, I have to show that I can make progress with the kid.
Agreed.
And then they'll be like, oh, agreed.
So what would be, so the question ends up being, what is a proper intervention plan for this ESFP child?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, so basically, you have to basically convey to the ESFP child that you have to earn attention. You have to explain to them the difference between good attention and bad attention. That's rule one. There's a difference between good attention and bad attention.
Okay.
And then bad attention will lead to these things happening to you, and good attention will lead to these things happening to you, right? They're very interest-based, so they're constantly thinking in terms of risk versus reward. But the thing is that he's afraid of making the wrong decision. So you always have to present every choice from the perspective of how it benefits him. It's always a negotiation with him. It's always like, oh yeah, let's make a deal. You get good attention, you earn these privileges, yep. right? If you get bad attention, you get these bad privileges, basically. Mm. That's what ends up happening, bad privileges. And, you know, like, so simulating, you know, jail time, basically. Because there's one thing ESFPs are afraid of the most is jail time. They actually, when an ESFP finds out that they're going to jail, they almost always attempt suicide these days because of it. Like, because of just how terrible it is. So simulating jail time or simulating loss of privileges and loss of freedom in this controlled environment for where it's forced on him in that negative environment is probably what I would recommend doing from that perspective. And then also understanding it's like, look, you have to ask if people actually feel good about choices you're making. Like mm-hmm. why, like you may believe that it's a good thing that you're getting any attention because from your perspective, any attention is all attention. Well, here's the problem. He may have a good relationship with his parents, but that doesn't mean he's getting attention. For example, INTP women, do you know what they love doing? They love playing them some World of Warcraft at home. And that ESFP child is likely, and that mother, you know, and she's likely in a sexual relationship with an SE user man, right? So based on that, so the SE user man is not a source, his father is not a source of attention at all in the home, which means it's solely on his mother's source of attention. But what does a hedonistic, gluttonous INTP woman like spending time doing? Watching television or playing video games at home. Right? That's what they do consistently. They have their attention on something else or they have their attention and spend all of their attention on themselves. And when that happens, he actually feels entirely alone and he's not getting any attention in the home. That's what I actually suspect is going on right now for this particular child, right? So how do we solve this problem, right? She needs to basically she has to earn the right to be gluttonous and actually spend attention on herself only after she has taken responsibility and spent attention on her son. The lack of attention that he's getting in the home is why he's coming to school and thinking, it doesn't matter what choice I make as long as I get any attention. Do you know how I know this is true? Because this is exactly what happened to Railgun. And she is UDUF. And still to this day, she is suffering. And she still hasn't gotten out of it. She's 27 years old. She still hasn't gotten out of it. And she's constantly in need of attention all the time. And what is happening to this child is literally going to happen to her, but worse, because he's going to end up in jail. She has the benefit of being a woman, whereas he does not have the benefit of being a woman. He's going to go to jail for this. And like this needs to be thoroughly explained to his mother, you know, like, because here's the thing, like, so the attention problem has to be solved at home. And then he needs to know there's going to be good attention and bad attention. That's the next thing. Attention problem, good attention versus bad attention from that perspective. And everyone in his life needs to give him feedback and be like, we don't value the choice that you made. So we're taking, and because you make bad choices, you don't get any choice.
Yeah.
You don't get any choice. And then he'll be maybe ragey or whatever. And at that point, well, I'm sorry, but like, you know, we're talking, yeah, but yeah, you can have a tantrum in this very, very small, secluded space where the door is shut and the only person that can hear you is you. You know, like isolation.
So that's where we kind of get into the laws of education, where yeah. I'm struggling with, and I've talked to Chris about, where I agree, and I've... When we only can use that strategy when they are at a level 3 safety. So they're off right. campus or they, you know, broke a window or something, right? Is when we can escort them technically.
This is where I would recommend setting up the child for failure and actually putting a window in front of him and a hammer and then does it. Then you have the justification and then proceed with the isolation therapy at that point.
That's kind of what I've been doing.
Yeah, like that's literally what you end up having to do. It's like, okay. Well, here, we're gonna give you the opportunity. Let's see if you can make the right choice, right? Yeah. Because that's what it is. And it's a Xanatos Gambit. Mm-hmm. You can only beat NI inferiors with Xanatos Gambit. Whatever choice they make, you benefit from. Mm-hmm. That's a Xanatos Gambit, right? So it's like in this situation, you have to set up the child for failure because it's the only way they're going to learn. Yeah. Because unless they are seeing that there are real, actual consequences personally to them, mm-hmm. you have to take away the thing they actually want, which is attention. So, like, they can have their tantrum. They can scream their head off, but no one can hear them. It's literally, you're creating a situation where it's like, if a tree falls in the forest and no one's around to hear it, does it make a sound? You have to recreate that environment. So in order to do that, it's like, oh, he breaks a window. Well, here's a window and a hammer, just right here, you know?
Yeah.
Make the right choice. He doesn't make the choice. Okay, you're going in the drink, yeah. You know, until you learn that you can't hammer this window anymore.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And just do that over and over and over. Replicate that process over and over.
Okay. Can I give you another scenario?
Sure.
So what if we're in small group and he's egging with kids, you know, and then all of a sudden they start making these sex noises and they're like trying to be funny and they're trying to get the group off task. Then how would you respond in that situation?
Then the children that are succumbing to his behavior, they also need to be held accountable.
Okay.
Like, seriously, anyone who follows a ringleader like that, they all go down. They all have to. Because eventually, his reputation among the children means, oh, if I'm in league with him, I'm in big trouble too. Mm-hmm. Because extroverted thinking child, you have to attack the reputation. He needs to see that he's losing standing with his peers every time he acts out.
So what would the consequence of, like, that scenario be?
Well, I mean, I'm sure there's level one and two consequences or whatever. I have no idea. And it also depends on the types of those specific children who are in league with it as well.
ENFJ, INFJ.
So, yeah. So from those NFJ's perspective, it's like, you know, take him around, you question the integrity of the INFJ. I thought you were supposed to be like, you know, I thought you were trying to be like a good kid here. Why are you choosing to be a bad kid? You hit your FI critic. You just hit it right there. Or you go to the ENFJ and be like, why do you think TI inferior that other people want this, any critic? Why do you think they want this? Why do you think anyone wants to hear this? Like, okay. Do you think anyone values that? Do you think anyone's going to like you? You know, what are you doing? You know, you get in their face and you start questioning and you hit those functions or you punch them in the face if you have to. Not the child, but
right.
The functions.
Yeah.
You know, obviously. You know, and just be like, what are you doing? Like, because that's what fathers do. You know, it's just like, what are you doing? Why
so
are you doing
the
it?
The ESFP almost last.
Correct.
Okay.
The ESFP has to see all of his peers get taken down and get punished for what they caused so that their peers end up hating the ESFP for basically getting them in trouble. And then you punish the ESFP afterwards and you tell the ESFP's FE critic, look at all the damage you're causing to everyone else, SE hero. Look at how no one likes you anymore, FE critic, because of what you're doing. You could make better choices. You know, oh, and then if he keeps making the wrong choices, then you have to respond with isolation from that perspective. So it's isolation or destroying their reputation. And basically, holding other children accountable so that they will start holding him accountable because of the loss of standing that he has with those other children in the classroom, basically. That's the social situation that has to be created. That's right. The only way.
I guess it makes sense. He does want to be a comedian, so he would want to be
yeah.
good following. And-
yeah, yeah, yeah. And you know what? I actually would encourage him to be a comedian. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, I would. Yeah. But the thing is, though, is that there are consequences to mm-hmm. these situations. This is not an environment. But the thing is that regardless of the interventions you do, and you'll probably get some improvement, but if things don't improve in the home, he's still doomed. He's still doomed to jail time, basically. That's what I see when I look into his future, jail time. That's how it is with any ESFP in that situation. So, and really, it's the mother. The mother is actually the problem. And she needs to be held accountable. She needs to be taken to task. She needs to have someone in her face and telling her, hey, by the way, Effie and Fear, you're a bad mom. Hey, by the way, you're actually selfish spending all of your attention on yourself and not on your son. Oh, hey, by the way, you actually think by giving him what you want because you give yourself everything you want all the time is actually healthy for him. Well, first of all, it's not healthy for you. And it's also absolutely not healthy for him. So you're basically ruining your child and ruining your future, even though you like to act like you think you're actually giving him a good future, even though you're actually not. So you're actually being really harmful. And whether or not you realize it or not, you're actually being abusive. It just so happens that your behaviors is not actually classified as child abuse by the state, but you actually are, by definition, doing it. So maybe you should actually be a better mother then, essentially, from that point of view. Like that's literally what literally has to happen, because nothing is going to change in the long run. Yeah, I mean, because here's the thing. Like, that child, after you get these interventions going, he starts responding positively, the only way he even has a future at that point is because you, the teacher, are intervening in his life. But as soon as you go away, it's over.
That's my fear.
It's completely over. It has to get back to home. And that mother has to be held accountable. Like, there's got to be a parent-teacher conference, and she's got to be basically told, you're a bad mom, and here's why. And, you know, like, hey, I'll do it. I'll write all her cognitive functions. I'll get in her face. And I'll tell her, like, yeah, you're really afraid of people not liking you. Well, guess what? No one in this room likes you right now. We can like you. We might want to like you one day, but no one does. And here's why. You're this, and you're this, and you're this, and you're this. You know, and you just tear into their ego, and you expose their ego to themselves, and you hold them accountable for what they're doing to this child. Because that's the only way, oh, crap, I didn't even realize I was that bad. You know? Like, that's literally the only choice you have. Because without that accountability, the parent's not going to change. Because oftentimes, parents, especially mothers, have no clue how they're actually damaging their children. They have no idea. Because women, for example, statistically, are the ones who ruin their relationships with their spouses. Actually, not men. It's not men. Everyone believes that men do it. It's actually women. It's actually women who ruin their relationships. But then conversely, there's another statistic out there. It's women who ruin their children, not the men. And there's actually proof out there. There's studies out there that show that men are actually more capable at raising children than women in current today's and age within the United States of America. It's facts. But for some reason, we give the children all to the moms in the court system, when statistically, it's the moms that are failing. Wow. Congratulations, society. You played yourself. Stop being idiots. Okay? Like, holy shit. What is your problem? Okay, like it's so ridiculous. So, anyway, do you have any other questions relating to this child or anything else? Any other scenarios? Anything that you need?
Not on the top of my head, again.
All right, fair enough.
It's a lot of, yeah.
Are you satisfied then?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, cool.
Come up with some lessons.
Yeah, come up with some lessons. Yeah, that. This is basically the general intervention plan. If I was doing it, I honestly have Chris watch the stream, cross-check what I've said here just in case. Because, yeah. You know, Chris is our white glove service. You know, he's the good cop and I'm the bad cop, right? So, you know.
I'll get the language.
Yeah, but that's essentially what is necessary, yeah. for this child's future. Otherwise, this child has no future. Like literally no future. And that mother is terrible. Like, oh my God. Like, when you showed me a photo of his mother, I'm like, yeah, okay, and now I know what's going on. And they have a natural pair too, and the enabling natural pairs, they enable each other into the ground. You know what I'm saying? And that's what's happening. He is being enabled into an early grave. He is being enabled into jail time. And then, you know what? After he goes to jail, she's still going to blame him. She's going to blame him, even though it was her fault. Like, that's how bad it's going to get for this child's future. Wow.
He'll always get blamed.
Yeah, it's just, he'll always be blamed for it. The ESFP men have it really hard in this society, extremely hard. And and they're consistently set up for failure. So it's ridiculous, so. All right, well, I think we've hammered this horse pretty well. Mm-hmm. So, all right, folks, thank you all for watching and listening, and Happy New Year, and please parent your children better. Like, there's a reason that we do what we do. So I'll see you all later, and enjoy yourselves, and see you guys on the next episode.